Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, September 12th, 2015. This is episode 1219. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Corning Optical Cables. Corning's incredibly durable Thunderbolt and USB 3 optical cables are longer, thinner, lighter, and stronger. Go to corning.com/twit. Use a promo code TWIT. You'll save up to $50 on USB 3 optical cables. You'll love them. And by Next Issue, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. We wouldn't get on the airplane without our Next Issue. For your free 30-day trial, visit nextissue.com/techguy. And by Intel. Small business owners can't afford to choose between A or B. If both help your business, you want A and B. With Intel-powered 2-in-1s, you get performance and mobility. Power and freedom. That's the power of and. Experience it at smallbusiness.intel.com. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet, home theater, digital photography, you know, all the geeky stuff. All right, yes, we'll talk about the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple TV too, smartphones, smartwatches, all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. You can reach us from overseas, as many do, via Skype out to that number, plus 1-888-827-5536. And it's toll-free even on Skype and, of course, the website. You should remember this if you remember but one thing, because everything you need to remember or make a note of is going to be there, techguylabs.com. We put everything there, even audio and video of the show after the fact. TechGuyLabs.com. Well, the other shoe dropped. Apple had its big event on Wednesday. You know what happened, right? Or do you? Do you care? Everybody assumed, as it is often the case this first week in September, that it would be an iPhone announcement. And it was so much more. I think it's pretty clear Apple has decided, instead of splitting the announcements up over two different keynotes in September and October, we're just going to get it all done. So in a 2.5-hour marathon that, despite its length, still had a lot of stuff cut out, we learned about new iPhones, yeah, but also a new iPad Pro, yeah, and a new Apple TV, yeah, a new Watch OS for Apple Watch, plus some new bands and a new look for people who are fashion forward, Hermes Apple Watch, and then iOS 9 and El Capitan, although they didn't talk about El Capitan OS 10, they just said it'll be out at the end of the month. Oh, where to begin? First of all, I think it was very well done. I think Apple moved it along. They knew that 2.5 hours is about the limit you can keep anybody in their seats. Really, it was more like 2:20. And they had One Direction performing at the end, which I skipped, and I'm sure many did. You can watch it, by the way. You can watch the whole keynote at Apple.com. They put it up after the fact. You could watch it live. I was in meetings in New York, so I was like watching in a cab, and I was halfway through a meeting at Squarespace, and this Squarespace guy said, "You know, Apple's having its. Would you mind if we put that up on?" Yes, I said, please. So we watched together a little bit, and I've watched since. Let me kind of see if I can. I got about 10 minutes to put it all together for you, synthesize the whole thing. First of all, we learned nothing new, really. The rumor mill was right on, as usually is the case as you get closer and closer to an Apple event. People like Mark Gurman at 9 to 5 Mac, the Apple blog, and BuzzFeed's John Patchkowski, they kind of know. They have really good sources, and by the time we're a week away, they pretty much know what's going to happen, and they predict it properly. In fact, there was a little debate, a little fight going on among preeminent Apple bloggers like John Gruber at Daring Fireball. He said there's no way they could possibly mention an iPad Pro in this event. It just would be too much to announce. But both Pachkowski and Gurman said, no, it's all going to be in this one. And they were right in the long run. They got it right. In fact, they got everything right. iPhone 6S is the next generation of the little iPhone, the 5-inch iPhone. The iPhone 6S Plus, the 5.5-inch big iPhone. Externally, they're very similar. I think we were looking at cases to see if the case would fit. I think the cases for the old phone would fit because there's like 0.1 millimeter difference. I don't think that's enough to make a difference in the cases. So your old cases still work with the new phone. Size and dimensions and form factor the same. One new color. Apple calls it rose gold. It sure looks like pink to me, but we'll see. I ordered a rose gold one just so I can see. Yeah, the ordering started at midnight. Just this morning. Midnight Friday, Saturday. 12:01 a.m. Saturday. Unlike previous years, it was a little scary at first because Apple's website was totally down for about 3 hours, beginning at about a few hours before ordering. But by the time that it was time to order, 12:01, site still down, maybe 12:02 or 12:03, it came up. I used the app on the iPad to order. Ordering was pretty smooth and effortless. I hear that things went well, too, at T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, all of which have the new iPhones. So I would bet, though, a huge demand. I'm guessing Apple can do no wrong with these iPhones. What's new? Well, for me, the biggest change is the new camera, 12 megapixels. And you may say if you have, I have a Note 5, that's 16. You know, we've got past the days where measuring the quality of a camera comes down to the number of megapixels. I just got the new Moto X for 2015, the Pure Edition. That is 21 megapixels. Doesn't mean it's going to be a better camera. And Apple really seems to have some secret sauce when it comes to camera phone photography. I expect 12 megapixels is going to be very, very impressive. It's certainly plenty of megapixels. And Apple's doing a lot of software stuff after the picture's captured to make it really look good. And I would bet that this is probably the best smartphone camera out there. But we won't know till we try it, will we? It won't start shipping until September 25th, 2 weeks from yesterday. So in 2 weeks, I'll have one and I'll have some information for you. I'll be taking a lot of pictures. In fact, between now and then, a lot of pictures with the Moto X. So far, the Galaxy Note 5 is my favorite. Really excellent camera in the Galaxy Note 5. And I think cameras are important. Apple also has added this thing they call 3D Touch. I was skeptical, but my friends who tried it at the Apple event say, no, you know what? It actually makes sense. You get a little feedback, a little buzz from the screen when you press. You can tap, you could press medium hard, and you can press hard. There's three levels of touch. You get a little buzz in the second. I know, this sounds crazy talk. Sounds confusing. Get a little buzz on the first hard push and then a deeper buzz. So you know immediately which one you've done. You're shaking your head. You don't buy it. You don't believe it. And then apparently different things happen. So you touch the camera. You press it the middle touch. It'll go into a selfie mode. You press it harder. I think it shows your pictures. I don't know. That's part of the problem is you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you'll get used to it. Third-party apps, it's going to be a little unpredictable. Apple's apps might be a little bit more predictable. We've had Force Touch on the Apple Watch, and it's been not so great. In my opinion, not so useful. Same thing on a couple of Mac laptops have had it. Not so useful. What else is new? They say faster fingerprint reader. They say much faster processor. But, you know, as I think Apple, which kind of surprised everybody by leading the event with the iPad Pro, going through the iPad Pro, Watch OS, the iPad Pro, the Apple TV, and then at the very end, 2 hours in, starting to talk about the iPhones, everybody said, that's Apple's bread and butter. You know, I think the most interesting thing they announced actually was the iPad Pro. I think it's going to be a very significant thing. Now, the iPad sales have been plummeting. Not because people hate the iPad. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just that everybody who wanted one has one. And there's not much compelling reason to upgrade because what do you use your iPad for? Little email, little surfing, a couple of games. My iPad's beeping at me right now. he says, please, please, Leo, play with me. Maybe reading the web. Even the iPad 2 was good enough for that. You don't need the upgrade. But suddenly, they've gone from 10 inches to 12.9. It's almost 13 inches. It's as big as a laptop screen. And I think this is going to be interesting because what they're saying, in my mind, the message from Apple is it's not just a consumption device. I've always thought of the iPad, for most people, as a way to consume content, to watch videos, to surf the web, to get your email. Not so great for making new stuff. The iPad Pro, very squarely aimed at that. It's really a productivity tool. And I think there are going to be some apps, including, by the way, Microsoft's Touch First Office apps, that are going to sing on this thing. We'll talk more about it in a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. TechGuyLabs.com is the website. You can get into the chat room through there. We love having you in chat. Kim Schaffer answering the calls, doing the tough work of grooming people for their appearance on national radio. Hello, Kim Schaffer.
Hello.
I'm curious. Yeah, I'm in Manhattan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Driving in a cab. Apple events going on. Among my people, in my tribe, that's like a national holiday. That's like, this is the 4th of July, the Melbourne Cup, whatever you call it. This is a national day off where people don't go to work. They stay home and they watch the Apple event. Or better yet, go to work and watch it with all your friends and cronies. Nobody. I'm driving through Manhattan. Nobody's paying any attention at all. It turns out in the real world, nobody really cares about the big Apple event. I was shocked. Did you, were you were aware, because you work here, so you kind of were aware of the fact this was going on Wednesday, right?
I was actually.
You didn't
care. Don't tell him, but I was watching your feed at work.
Oh, nice.
The whole time.
Oh, and, now was that you did that because you work with me now, right? You wouldn't have done that before.
But I have to tell you, one of my coworkers who does business in tech, he needed to get the Apple feed, and we don't have any Macs in our building.
Yeah, because Apple, well, you know, okay, now this is weird. Always in the past, when Apple streamed it, and they were streaming it this year, you had to have Safari on a Mac or an iOS device to watch it. Weirdly enough, this year, you could also watch it if you had Windows 10 and the Microsoft Edge browser, which works with nothing.
Well, we haven't upgraded to that.
That's very strange. And now we know why, because Microsoft took the stage during this event and showed off their touch-first version of Office, which is going to be, I think, a big deal for the iPad Pro. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So, watching our feed, because you could watch our feed on a PC.
And this guy's scrambling, because he needs to be able to watch this and get sound and everything. And I said, hey, go to twit.tv.
They'll do
a full, you know, play-by-play. They may talk too much for your taste.
Yeah, we talk over the whole thing.
But he listened to it, and he was able to do his stories, and he was very thankful. So
I wasn't there. You know, like I said, I was in a cab. Our team held down the fort, did a great job of covering it. So what we do is we like to play the keynote and then commentate on top of it. So they were a little snarky, but it's okay. If I had been there, I might have been a little bit more excited about it, frankly. I think Apple announced some big stuff.
I kind of want that rose gold phone.
Yeah, well, I'll get it in 2 weeks and you can see it and you can see if it's really rose gold or pink.
Well, it's pink. It looks pink.
Rose gold is kind of a coppery gold. I mean, real rose gold. This
no,
is obviously not made
pink.
Of gold. It looks pink.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe I'm going to be embarrassed because I ordered that one. Both my wife and I ordered pink.
Well, if you
had
need
they
to
called
take
it pink,
it off your hands.
Because I'm wearing a pink shirt. I guess pink is me.
You do okay in pink.
My face is pink. Okay. Well, we'll see. I wanted to try the big one this year.
Oh, so you got the 6S?
Yeah.
Or 6
you know, the other reason, there's several other reasons why I feel like I might actually be, as you know, I'm a big Android fan. And I like the freedom and the geekiness of the Android phone because I can mess with it, right? Not everybody likes that. That's not necessarily a selling point for a lot of people. I don't want to mess with it. I just want the phone to work. Apple's good at that. But I might be shifting over for a few reasons. I just got hearing aids, which really don't work well with Android. They work only with the iPhone, and I can use the Apple Watch to control them. Hey, let me turn it up on my watch. That's good because then I'll be simultaneously, hello, I'll be simultaneously, I don't know, all my stuff's going off here. I don't know why it's making sounds. I'll be simultaneously an old man and a young nerd in the same body. That's nice. Also, this new camera is very attractive. And Facebook, now I don't know if you know about this, but Facebook has this new feature only available for verified celebrities called Mentions. And Ricky Gervais was one of the first. He's been putting so you can stream live to Facebook, live video on Facebook, and then it stays there. And Ricky Gervais has done a lot of little, you know, the guy from The Office, the British Office, and he's been doing a lot of cat grooming videos, I'm sorry to say. But it's but he gets like 20,000 people watching this. And I want to do this. You can't do that on Android. You can only do it on the iPhone. Facebook hasn't made an Android version of it. So as I am verified on Facebook, I don't know how or why, but I thought it'd be kind of fun, you know, just to stream live video from time to time on Facebook. So that's another reason. Third, I got this new camera thing that I want to review called the DX01 that is a device. It's expensive. It's like a $600 device, but it's a high-end camera that plugs into the iPhone via the Lightning port, and then you use the iPhone as a giant viewfinder. Apparently very high quality. So it could be a replacement if you're an iPhone user for a point-and-shoot camera, roughly the same price, but very high quality. So I might, you know, if all this works out. Plus, the most important thing, Apple with iOS 9 finally is getting rid of that horrible keyboard.
Oh.
The keyboard is always in uppercase, even though you might be typing lowercase. It's like a Selectric. I don't understand why they, of all people, for years... Literally 8 years, Apple's been doing this bad keyboard. They finally fixed it in iOS 9. It goes up and down. So that actually is the main reason, because I could never type passwords. Anyway, something to watch. We will talk more about Apple TV, because that's also a big deal, and the iPad Pro. But I think we should take some calls, don't you, Kim?
Yes, I do.
Who should? Because we got Scott Wilkinson in about 5 minutes talking about home theater. Who should we talk to?
Neil in Phoenix, and he just ordered his 6 Plus S.
Okay.
And...
Okay.
I think he's got a question a lot of people are going
to... Most people should not rush to the Apple store today and buy it. First of all, there's now a month delay. You'll be able to walk into a store probably 2 weeks on Friday the 25th and just pick one up. So unless you got up at midnight. Plus, don't you want to wait and see what people say? Like, is this good? Maybe it's horrible. I don't know. Hi, Neil. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good morning, Leo. How are you?
Did you get up at midnight, Neil?
I did indeed, sir. I was up there. I'm sitting here. I was up at midnight. I made it a point. And I ordered mine from Verizon and got in and got it ordered, and we'll have it in 2 weeks like you saw.
Yep. So did my wife. She's a Verizon customer. I did it through the Apple store.
Effective question, and I'll throw a quick comment out. It's basically like this. I have the 6 Plus, which is a very nice phone as well, and I use iCloud Backup. What I can't find anywhere, however, is what is contained in the iCloud. What is contained in that iCloud Backup, and what do I need to do to easily migrate everything over from the 6 to the 6 Plus S, 6 S Plus?
Everything is contained. So
everything,
it is a blob that has your entire iPhone, everything, settings, data, pictures, apps, everything. The only thing it doesn't take is actually, and this is good, is a thing called Other. You may look, if you look at the storage used on your iPhone, a big chunk called Other. It's cached stuff. It doesn't copy that. Everything else is copied. So you won't have to worry about anything. I have seen, and there's some debate over this, I have seen it download the apps as opposed to get it from the backup. But it gets what apps you have, and either it gets them from the backup, or it would make more sense, download the latest versions from the Apple Store. Either way, that's all you need to do. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. There are some interesting questions about the iPad Pro. We don't know how much RAM, but it seems to be, because of a leak from Adobe, 4 gigs, which would make a big difference in performance. 4 speakers, which is phenomenal. You know, the Air 2 and actually the last few generations of the iPad have had 1 crap speaker. Maybe this has 2. Okay, maybe this has 2, but they're on the bottom. four speakers giving really good sound might be a big difference. But unaccountably, for a pro product priced at a pro price, it's got a terrible camera in it. That I'm baffled about. Really am baffled about that. Look, nobody wants to encourage people to take pictures like this. And with a 12.9 inch, it'd be like taking pictures like this. Smile. But on the other hand, if you're going to put a camera in it and people are going to use it, I was amazed when we were on our vacation last. Everybody, seems to me mostly older folks, like to use their iPad for a camera. It's very common. Scott Wilkinson is here, home theater guru. And we were talking off the air about the new Apple TV.
Yes, indeed.
The Apple TV is not the best-selling set. We'll call them a set-top box because the idea is it you add it to your television to give it access to internet content like iTunes, Netflix, stuff like that.
Which is sort of redundant since virtually all TVs have that built in anyway.
Although I've been saying for a long time, and this is changing, but for a long time, like the Samsung interface to its smart TV is so horrible. And frankly, the hardware is so poor that you'd be better off getting a Roku or maybe an Apple TV.
It's true.
Vizio's really kind of seems to be doing a good job with their smart TV. Mm-hmm. So they're getting better. LG is now going to release an Apple TV with Android TV in it. The problem is they don't want to spend money on that part of it. So they don't want to put good processors and extra memory and storage in there. So it may not be as good as a standalone device. I've been using the NVIDIA Shield TV, which is an Android TV device.
And I haven't tried that yet. Is it good?
Fantastic. 4K capable. It also supports Android games designed for that TV, so you can play Crossy Road on it. Apple demonstrated their new Apple TV playing Crossy Road. In fact, playing a new version. Of course, Apple has the market clout to go to the makers of Crossy Road and say, hey, could you do a family version? Really, in many ways, the Apple TV looks like the Nintendo Wii. The controller you can use just like a Wiimote. In fact, it even comes with a wrist strap so you won't throw it through the TV.
That happens.
You get slippery. Yeah. You're playing tennis. So it has motion in it. I presume, and there's still some question marks, but I presume you could use an iPhone as well or even an iPad with this Apple TV. Sure. But there's some funny things missing. For instance, no 4K.
And no 4K.
We were speculating maybe the hardware is capable of it, but they just left it out in the software. But you asked me, well, which HDMI does it support? And I said HDMI 1.4. Is that the old one?
That is the old one. And I told you off the air that would not support 4K. But since then, Scooter X in the chat room reminded me that HDMI 1.4 can carry a very limited form of 4K because it's all about bandwidth, right? 1.4 has a bandwidth, a maximum bit rate of 10.2 gigabits per second. And that will carry 4K as long as you have an 8-bit resolution, color resolution, and that will not handle a high dynamic range at all. And if you can go up to 30 frames per second, so it'll handle movies.
Not that great, in other words, for 4K.
In other words, not that great.
Don't buy it with the idea that you might someday be able to run 4K movies. It sounds like not.
You might be able to sort of barely. But it's not really supportive of that. You really want HDMI 2.0 running at 18 gigabits per second. Then you have a lot more flexibility about the type of 4K and the other features like high dynamic range, high frame rate, that sort of thing, which are definitely coming down the pike.
So, in some ways, this feels like a catch-up device. The big deal we've been waiting for since Apple TV came out years ago is an app store. Isn't that what Apple does so well on the iPad and the iPhone? There hasn't been one. Only Apple could approve a streamer on Apple TV until this new TV comes out, which it will finally have an app store. I don't know how restrictive that app store will be. We'll have to wait and see. One thing it does do, by the way, the app store has been available on Android TV. It's been available on Roku for some time. So this is catch-up for Apple, not something, you know, brand new and different. Of course, the Apple App Store is a significant, maybe a significantly better experience. And it'll be interesting to see if, besides HBO and Showtime, if other cable and network television creators put their apps on this Apple TV. It could give the TV much more capability. Right now, I recommend buying Roku because of its support for almost everything. The only thing Roku doesn't do is Apple iTunes.
It's iTunes, yeah.
And the Apple TV is somewhat more limited. It doesn't have Amazon and other streaming services. It doesn't have YouTube, right, to my knowledge.
Wow.
But it does support iTunes. So if you buy a lot of iTunes movies and TV, you're going to want an Apple TV. It also supports, right, AirPlay, which is nice if you have Apple devices. As usual with Apple, works best if you're all Apple.
Right. Right. And it works great in that case.
Yeah. They're going to build Siri into the remote. Now, we've seen this before. Fire TV had a remote that you could talk to and search.
Yep.
Apple says their search will go across all platforms. So you'll be able to say things like, I want to see Serena lose, and it'll find. I don't know if that actual search will work, but it will. You could say, I want to see. They actually showed some interesting thing. I want to see all James Bond movies with Sean Connery. And it would limit your James Bond selection to the original James Bond movies. And then it would do it across services. So it would say, well, you can get that on Vudu, you can get it on Hulu, you can get it on iTunes. It would show you all the different services.
Right, right.
That's unique. And I think maybe a great interface.
Well, they sure are good at interfaces, aren't they?
Yeah. So, but it's not, in any, nothing that they, I see here is unique to Apple TV. All of it's been done by other people before.
As you say, it's kind of catch up. I agree with that.
And the A8 processor is from the iPhone 6, from last year's iPhone. So,
oh, man.
Not super
I guess
fast.
I was thinking it was the A9, but actually it's the iPad Pro that has the A9 in it.
Yeah. In fact, it has the A9X. Ooh, not just the A9, my friend.
Oh, wow.
We're talking X, and that stands for extra fast. It's actually
extra super duper.
Apple's claiming the new iPad Pro will be 1.8 times faster than the existing iPad Air 2. That's
a lot faster.
I must admit,
I'm kind of tempted by that.
Really? What intrigues you? Why would you want an iPad Pro?
Well, you know,
I mean, it'll be great for playing Fallout Shelter and
well, I'm not a gamer, that's true.
Fabulous for that.
I'm not at all a gamer.
I think the interesting play with the iPad Pro is productivity. GarageBand on this thing and iMovie on this thing are mind-boggling. I hope Adobe does a version of Photoshop for this thing. Could be huge because you have much space. Anyway,
yeah, as you said, it's like a laptop.
Didn't mean to preempt your segment here.
Or watching movies, you know, watching TV shows and movies. I never watch TV or movies on my iPhone or even my, you know, 9-inch or 10-inch or whatever it is iPad. It's just too small. But this starts to look more reasonable, like on an airplane or in a hotel room or something.
Well, and it's a super high resolution, too, which
exactly
makes it very exciting. Let me see what the resolution is. You can tell me if this is good enough for 4K. Yeah, the iPad Pro resolution is 12.9 inches, 2732 by 2048. So it's
not quite 4K.
Not quite 4K.
No, that would be 3840 by 2160.
So it's a little.
So if you were watching 4K, it would be scaled down. Or if you were watching 1080p, it would be scaled up. Either way, it's going to be scaled. And scaling is never a good idea if you can avoid it because it softens the picture.
Methinks Apple is not, at this point, trying to be state of the art.
First on the block. Yeah exactly. I tend to agree.
So I'm sorry. I preempted your entire segment. But I feel like this. I mean, this is the home theater story of the week, is this Apple TV. And is it something you should buy? By the way, the original Apple TV is $99. They're selling that now for $69.
And the new one's what, $150?
Starts at $150, and then there's a $200 version. And the difference is how much memory is in it. And I don't know. The memory, I guess, is because when you install apps, it takes up memory. So if you think you're going to install a bunch of apps, you might want to get the 32 gig
version. Yeah, exactly.
Version.
But certainly, you know, not having 4K, having HDMI 1.4, that is so last year, so 2 years ago. I don't know why they didn't, you know, make it the latest and greatest it could have been. I suppose it would have been more expensive then, but.
And it's 4x3, so it's.
Ooh, even worse. Oh, man.
I saved the best for last. Scott Wilkinson, you'll find him at avsforum.com. He's talking all about it and on his Home Theater Geeks podcast right here. Leo Laporte. Our show today brought to you by, I'm a brand new sponsor. I'm so excited about them. Corning. You know what Corning is, right? Corning's the glass people. They make Gorilla Glass. They make they make all the stuff. They also make fiber optic cables. I have, in fact, they're the maker of fiber optic cables. They've transformed traditional USB, where are they? Here they are. And Thunderbolt, USB 3 and Thunderbolt cables. When Thunderbolt was first designed, it was supposed to be optical. But for reasons no one will understand, Intel and Apple decided to make it copper-based. So your Thunderbolt cables that you've got most of the time are copper-based cables. But the truth is, for speed, for reliability, nothing beats glass. And this is the new Thunderbolt cable from Corning. If you have a mission-critical operation, you're going to want this. Now, notice, first of all, if you've ever used fiber optics, you know you never do this, right? You would never do this with your Well, this is the new Corning fiber optics. You can bend it. You can crimp it. This stuff is much more reliable, and boy, it is speedy. Now, what they're doing, because your device and your computer probably expect copper, is they're converting in this. There's a little transponder that turns it into light and then receives the light and turns it back into the kinds of signals that your computer and your device expect, which is pretty miraculous. If you're in high-end video, if you're in photography, you know we use fiber optic cables for the mission-critical high-speed stuff here in our studio. If you do audio production, you want the best cables out there. You want the most reliable cables out there. And you want Corning's brand-new fiber Thunderbolt and USB 3 optical cables. They're known for fiber optics. And, of course, when you say glass, you go, oh, no, that's going to be vulnerable. In fact, I remember we installed our SAN and we got the fiber optic cables. The engineer said, don't step on those. You'll break the glass. Well, Corning, you know, they're the kings, right, of unbreakable glass. They have figured out how to make their USB and Thunderbolt cables completely super strong and flexible. So flexible, you can walk on them. You can bend them. You can tie them in a knot. It is quite amazing. And by the way, 20 gigabits per second for Thunderbolt, 20 gigabits per second, 5 gigabits per second for USB 3. No other cable comes even close. And one of the advantages, one of the reasons we have started using this here in the Brick House is because it's fiber optic, you can run it lots longer. Up to 60 meters, 200 feet for Thunderbolt, 165 feet for USB 3. So declutter, move peripherals into another room, get them out of your sight, improve productivity, increase security by putting expensive gear somewhere safe, locking it up, and you still have high-speed access to it through your Corning optical cables. They're longer, they're thinner, they're lighter, they're stronger, 50% thinner, 80% lighter than traditional copper cables. We've gone all in, as you can see, on Corning. Corning, take advantage of a special deal for TWIT viewers from Corning. Get $30 off the 30-meter, $50 off the 50-meter USB 3 optical cables. No limit. You can buy as many as you want. You should really retrofit and go all optical. Corning.com/TWIT and use the offer code TWIT at checkout for $30 off 30-meter, $50 off 50-meter. That's a good deal. We thank the folks at Corning for their support. I am so excited. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Talking a lot about Apple, but we can talk about anything with a chip in it. Computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. Scott's on the line. Our next call from Texas. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome.
Scott. I've got a very limited amount of time to talk to you, so I'll tell you what my problem is and get off and listen to it on the podcast.
I apologize for not getting to you sooner. Go ahead.
That's no problem. I understood. I've got an iPad 2, the 16-gig model, that we've got 5,000-some-odd photos on.
Wow.
And they only exist on the iPad.
Ooh, back it up, baby.
That's what we're having trouble doing. It was backed up on a computer that has since died. And now we're trying to get these things off, but when we plug it into iTunes on any other computer, we can't see the photos.
Oh, that's right. It says it's attached to another computer. Do you want to erase?
No. Well, what we did is I bought an iPad Mini 3, that, I'm sorry, I told you it's an iPad 2. They're both iPad minis.
Okay.
But a 2 and a 3.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
And I pulled, you know, I backed up the old iPad and restored it to the new iPad in the setup process.
Good.
But it did not pull the old photos. It only pulled 300 photos. So I don't have any idea how to get to them. I plug it into my computer. I cannot see the iPad as a storage device. I cannot. I haven't tried it on a MacBook, although I have one available. It's not mine, but I can get to it.
I'm gonna let you go.
Would it do better?
I'm gonna let you go. Keep listening, and I'll have a fairly complete answer for you, including links. And you can either get it as you're driving away, or you can listen on the web at techguylabs.com, and there'll be text as well.
Well, that's what I do, and I thank you very much for your time and your answer.
It's great to talk to you, Scott. So there is hope. First of all, you can get them off. I'm a little concerned that you only got 300 photos. You should get, if you back up and then restore to a different iPad, you should get everything that was on the old iPad, including every photo. So that's a concern. There are two ways to back up an iPad, Apple-approved ways, and I'm going to give you a third non-Apple-approved way. One, of course, is to connect it, as you do, to a computer using iTunes, Windows or Mac, doesn't matter. And the iTunes will say, okay, I'm backing it up now, and it'll make a blob. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, that will contain everything. And that you can, as you did, restore to a new iPad or if you get a new iPhone or whatever, and it should restore everything that's on the old one. So that's why I'm a little concerned that you only got a few of the photos. The other Apple-approved way is to use iCloud to back up wirelessly. Actually, you can do this wirelessly even with your computer. iTunes will allow you to back up via Wi-Fi. It's slow. iCloud you can also back up to. In fact, I would turn on iCloud photo backup right now. That's part of the new iOS 8. It's not going to be new for much longer, but it was the new iOS 8. It's part of OS 10, 10.10. And what it does is it copies those photos, the originals, off your iPad to your iCloud storage. Now, you only get 5 gigs to start. That may be enough, but you can buy more. Apple's not cheap, but you can buy enough to back it all up anyway, and then you cancel once you've got it backed up if you want. It will then do something kind of interesting if you allow it. It will save space on your iOS device by only putting essentially thumbnails of those originals. So it's going to back up the originals. Originals will be backed up online where they're safe, and you need to do this pronto. Otherwise, you risk losing all those photos. In fact, I'm worried you may have already lost some. I don't know why you're only getting 300. But turn on iCloud backup. It will back up everything, including all your photos, to the cloud. And the full original versions will be in the cloud. It will then make smaller versions available to save space on your iPad and your iPhone. There are programs, those are the two Apple-approved methods. There are Apple-not-approved methods. On the Mac, there's a program called PhoneView, ECAMM, ecam.com, that will let you just copy those off. Because you can, if you have the right software on a computer, look at the iPad and just get files off of it. Apple doesn't approve this, and it's mostly because the record industry was so worried about iPods and then later iPhones and iPads being used as piracy devices that they required that Apple prevent things like moving it from one iTunes account to another. If you could do that, then you could bring your iPod or your iPhone or your iPad over to a friend's house and say, here, have all my music. He just hook it up and copy it. So Apple doesn't do that. It's very frustrating. Fortunately, it's easy to get around. On a PC, there's a program called Touch Copy that's from wideanglesoftware.com. Both of those bypass Apple's very weak copy protection. I think Apple in its heart didn't really understood that this was a real kind of pain for users. Apple loves users, but they couldn't get the record industry to go along. Remember, the record industry considers the iPod, or for years, considered the iPod a piracy device, period. They've, I think, since learned a lesson, but these kind of old habits die hard. So these two programs will get around Apple's fairly weak restrictions, so you can copy the photos off. I'm going to put a link, though, from Apple Discussions Forum, the Apple support communities. Syncing to a new computer or replacing a crashed hard drive. This is a solution directly for the kind of stuff that you want to do and can't do right now? Because when you hook up a new computer, of course, it says, oh, this iTunes library is attached to another computer. Would you like to erase everything? No, I don't. So I put a link in the show notes to Apple Discussions doc-3141, which has a lot of links, a lot of useful information about how to get around this. Then you can back it up. There are other ways to do this. You can download third-party software, OneDrive. If you have a Microsoft, if you have an account, Office account, subscription to Office 365, you have unlimited storage on OneDrive. I use that. It will automatically copy your entire camera roll up to the OneDrive cloud for safekeeping. Dropbox, you have to pay for the storage, much as you do with Apple, and it's not the cheapest, but you can also do that. These, you don't want to lose these photos. You could download the Dropbox app, turn on automatic camera upload. It'll upload everything. You really want to get these pictures off. And in fact, everybody listening, and so many people do this, you take a lot of pictures with your iPhone or your iPad. Those are great pictures. And you don't do anything about it. You just say, well, they're there. I don't have to worry. They're there. No. Remember this thing I talk about all the time called backup? One copy of anything is dangerous. You're going to lose it. I can't tell you how many calls we get from people who lose their phones. And I had a sad call maybe last year from a guy whose dog had passed away. The only pictures he had were on his iPhone, and it stopped working. And it broke my heart. Please pack up your iPhone. Lots of ways to do it at techguylabs.com. Got about a minute left. Let's at least start another call, and we'll move on over the top of the hour. Dave in New York, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. So several months back, I think I had asked you for advice as far as getting a basically pure Android phone that had better battery life than my Nexus 5. You suggested the OnePlus One. I held off because of the various support issues, but because now they've added phone support and chat support and have...
They've really tried to address that. US support.
I bought one.
Good.
Now, what I need your assistance with is I thought I had a better idea before I bought it. Now I'm not sure of the whole. I know that I have two options in terms of upgrading the operating system.
Ah, I know where you're going with this.
It's the stability. I'm not sure if the Cyanogen upgrades are
both are stable. Cyanogen fixes a nasty bug in Android called Stage Fright, but the Oxygen OS, if you can, it's hard to install. Unless they've made that easier. But Oxygen is pure Android, and I've had great results with both. I like Oxygen. I'd go with that. Leo Laporte, Big Tech Guy. And now, a man who needs no introduction, a man who works... and then they go on for 10 minutes.
On and on.
Scott Wilkinson. It's home theater time.
Thank you so very much, Leo.
You, Scott, I'll put the thing up so you can see
time. Put the timer up. Thank you very much. Actually, Beatmaster asked a great question in the chat room. How future-proof are AVRs? Are they UHD capable already before the first player hits the market? And what you're really talking about there is the Ultra HD Blu-ray player, which is not on the market yet. Samsung announced the very first one as a product, and they are claiming first quarter or early part of 2016. So we were hoping by the end of this year, by Christmas or holiday shopping season, the Samsung probably won't hit that. I don't know if anybody will. but in any event, the question is, what about current AV receivers? And this is a super great and really important question, because the Ultra HD Blu-ray player, all of them, are going to use HDMI 2.0, probably 2.0A, which conveys the high dynamic range information as well as the 4K video signal. And they're going to implement a new form of copy protection called HDCP 2.2. And this is the latest way that the studios are trying to protect their content. And what the AV receiver needs to be able to do is it needs to have implemented within it HDCP 2.2, because the signal is going to come from the player. Typically, it's going to go through the AVR and on to the TV. And so every piece of equipment in that chain needs to have HDCP 2.2. If the receiver doesn't have it, then the signal coming from the Blu-ray player is never going to reach the TV, even if the TV does have HDCP 2.2, which most TVs, a lot of TVs these days do, but a lot of AV receivers don't. And so that is going to be a real problem here as soon as these Blu-ray players come out, the Ultra HD Blu-ray players, because people with receivers that don't have HDCP 2.2 are going to hook them up like they normally do, player to receiver, receiver to TV, all by HDMI cables, and they're not going to see anything. It's going to be broken. It's not going to work. They will see Blu-ray if you put a regular Blu-ray into one of these new Ultra HD Blu-ray players, which presumably will be able to play Blu-rays, DVDs, and CDs, all the legacy disc formats. But they're not going to be able to watch. You're going to be able to see those, but you're not going to be able to see the new Ultra HD Blu-ray discs or probably the streaming content that those players, those Ultra HD Blu-ray players, will undoubtedly have. They will have streaming apps, and the 4K ones anyway are probably all going to use HDCP 2.2. So that is a really big and kind of hidden problem that that we should all be aware of. Anyway, that is how that's the answer to that question. And I love to see people in the chat room. Loquacious, always great to see you. Youper, Mike Heiss, and Happy New Year to all of our Jewish friends out there. Monday is Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the Jewish high holidays. I have not yet eaten any apples and honey, but I will on Monday, no doubt about that, as I will be blowing the shofar as well. Yes, Lawn Dog, your HDMI question, the big difference in 1.2 and the new 2.0 stuff. 1.2 is pretty old. The current, well, the previous generation from where we are now is 1.4. And as someone pointed out in the chat room, it does have sufficient bandwidth to barely get out 4K under certain limited conditions. But it's you really want the full 2.0A, 18 gigabits per second, with HDCP 2.2. It's all very confusing, but all really critical with the dawn of the Ultra HD age. User 8169, how about a Blu-ray player that upconverts to 4K? That should not be a problem. That does not require HDCP 2.2, as far as I know. It just requires, I think, HDCP 2.0, which is what Blu-ray uses. And virtually all AV receivers and TVs can do that. So, yes, the differences are important. Kalu is asking about the Apple TV 4x3 issue. And I must admit, I'm still a little confused by this as well. I can't believe that the new Apple TV will only show things in 4x3 aspect ratio. And for those who don't know, 4x3 merely means the ratio of the width to the height of the picture. Old school analog CRT TVs had this aspect ratio, 4x3, and so did all the content in standard definition. But high definition went to 16x9, which is wider than it is tall, than the relationship between the width and the height is greater. So, but that's been around for a long time. I think my current Apple TV does 16x9. I haven't used it super lately, but I don't remember seeing that as a problem. So why would they take a step back in the new Apple TV? I don't quite get that yet. I need to do more research into that. Sunday, yeah, right, Dr. Mom. Rosh Hashanah actually starts Sunday night. Yes, you are correct. My first.
She's an actual Jew, as opposed.
Yeah,
to
I know.
You.
I know. I'm only.
You're an honorary Jew.
I'm an honorary Jew. Yes. Both my ex-wife and my current wife are Jewish. So
well, that counts.
And I'm a member of a Jewish organization, a community.
Yeah.
So I am an honorary Jew. But you're right. I'm not technically a Jew. My mother was not Jewish. I did not convert. So there we go. But yes, Mike B. Lashana Tova. That's. Happy New Year to all of you out there.
It starts Sunday, is that what you said?
Sunday night.
Sunday mm-hmm. night.
Sunday at sundown.
That's confusing. Why don't they just start everything sundown Friday? I don't Just make it easy.
Well, the whole Jewish calendar is based on the lunar calendar.
So it's a new year, so it has to be when the
it changes around.
The moon.
It actually changes around because the relationship between the lunar year and the solar year is quite different.
I think I want to go. Do they have anything equivalent to a Seder for Rosh Hashanah, like a big feast?
No, mostly people are fasting at that point.
Oh, that's no fun. I want to eat.
Yeah, I know. Well, you do get to eat apples and honey.
That's okay.
You dip these apple slices into honey, and it's really
good. Dr. Mom yelled at me because I had a hot wing.
During Rosh Hashanah?
No, at the event on Thursday. Wednesday. Just one.
And she yelled at you.
Well, she's trying to take care of me.
I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I gotcha.
She's very protective.
As well she should be.
All right, Scott, thank you.
My pleasure. See you
we
next
are
week.
Down to the last 20 seconds. I'll see you next week. And Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. You can call it from outside those areas via Skype. It'll still be toll-free for you. 8888-ASK-LEO. Our website, very important because this is where all the show notes go. So if I mention something, it'll be in the show notes. The website is techguylabs.com. You'll also find a link there to the chat room. Somebody said, I have looked everywhere on your site. I cannot find a link to the chat room. It's right on the front page, right under my picture. There's a link to the chat room. There's also the phone number. So you don't have to remember even the phone number. You don't have to remember. Just all you have to remember is techguylabs.com. Our call before the top of the hour, I had to rush through it a little bit. That is I like the OnePlus One. I like OnePlus. They offer two operating systems because they had to deal with a group called Cyanogen. Cyanogen started, it was the creation of a guy whose handle was Cyanogen, Condic, as a alternative to a standard Android installations on Samsung and HTC and other phones. It was taken from this. Android's very interesting. Unlike the iPhone, which is closed source. Apple owns it. They own iOS. You can't make a phone with iOS on it, not legally anyway. It's got to be an iPhone. Android's very different. Google bought Android. It was a creation of a guy named Andy Rubin, and he intended it to be an open source, freely available operating system. Google bought it. They attached to it some closed-source proprietary stuff like the Google Play Store, Google Photos, Google Plus, Google Maps. All of those are proprietary. Google owns those. But the core of Android is still open source, and anybody can make their version of it. You can download the source code. It's freely available, and you can customize it to your heart's desire. And that's what Condic did, and that's what became CyanogenMod. He did something that many third-party versions of Android did. He said he made it possible for you to then later install the Google stuff so that it would become a full Google version of Android. There are very inexpensive Android phones, mostly sold in the developing world, $20, $25 phones, that don't have the Google stuff, that haven't been certified by Google. They're just plain old open-source Android, and they're probably not the experience you want. CyanogenMod continues to build in the Google stuff. You can install it on other phones. They made their first deal with OnePlus to be the official operating system of the OnePlus One phone, which was great. Highly recommended. Unfortunately, they had a falling out. OnePlus now no longer uses CyanogenMod. They started offering on the OnePlus One an update called Oxygen, which is basically a pure version of Android, Google services and all, just base Android with a few additions. Nicely done, I thought. The OnePlus 2, which is their newest phone, does the same thing. I don't recommend the OnePlus 2. I feel like they left some important pieces out. The screen is less than desirable. It's not a great phone. But the OnePlus 1 was remarkable for its price and for its battery life. And if you have to upgrade, you really have a good choice between CyanogenMod, CM12, or Oxygen. I moved to Oxygen, and I like it because I like a pure Android experience. Cyanogen Mod looks different, feels different. In the same way that Samsung's version of Android looks and feels different, HTC, LG's, they all customize it. So if you've got a OnePlus One, absolutely, it's fine to go to Oxygen. It's stable. It's reliable. They've done a nice job. And OnePlus is continuing to do it. Now, interestingly, Cyanogen Mod is now, or Cyanogen, the company, is now looking for new phone companies to put Cyanogen on. They've already found one, one I'd never heard of. In fact, I can't even remember the name now. Nothing you've ever heard of either. But they're going to make a phone based on CM. The good thing about Cyanogen Mod is they're actively working on it. And for instance, the stage fright vulnerability, which was a scary bit of code that took advantage of a flaw in all the versions of Android and hasn't been successfully patched by Google, even on the Nexus phones, Cyanogen Mod did patch that on CM12. So it's fixed. Anyway, that's a long answer to a question. This is now you know why people just say, well, I'm just going to buy an iPhone. It's too complicated for me. I think the OnePlus One is still a great phone. Albert in Henderson, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Albert.
Hey, Leo. Got a question about streaming Sirius Radio.
Streaming Sirius Radio.
Is there any way to stream it and not kill your data?
So Sirius and XM, of course, are satellite companies, and if you have a special radio in your car that can take that has a satellite receiver and special antenna on the back, you can listen to them. It's a subscription service. If you subscribe in your car, you can also use a device. You know, applications on a device. I take it using on an Android or an iPhone, something like that.
Yeah, my turbo.
Yeah, so that works great. Here's the deal. No. The answer is no. It's going to use data. It's going to use a lot of data, just as it would if you listen to Spotify or Pandora or Apple Music or anything else, because you're streaming the whole time you're listening. You're effectively downloading that audio. Audio download's not as bad as video download, but if you do it a long, long time and you do it every day, I guess it would add up to a significant amount of data after a while.
That's what I was afraid of.
There are some outs here, though. T-Mobile, AT&T, and some others have deals with some of the streaming music companies. T-Mobile is the most complete that I know of. If you have a T-Mobile account, you can stream from dozens of services, and they don't count it against your data. So Apple Music, Spotify, they're free. I'll give you the list. Apple Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, which is ours, of course, Rhapsody, Betaport, Spotify, Slacker, Radical 8-Track, Samsung Milk, Black Planet, Songza, RDO, SoundCloud. I'm leaving some out. There's so many of them. Mad, Genius Radio, Groove Music, Live 365, Google Music, Sirius XM is on the list. Total Music. So if you had Bandcamp, so if you have a T-Mobile account and you're streaming from any of those services, and that includes XM, Sirius XM, they don't count it against your data. So that is a great deal. AT&T has a similar deal with a few, I think. So I think the first thing to do, sound like you had Verizon, first thing to do is to check and see who you've got, who your carrier has and what your carrier allows. I'm guessing, since you're getting a bill, that they don't, in fact, give you a deal on SiriusXM. Maybe it's time to move. I have to say, T-Mobile, and this is always the case. This is why we encourage competition. This is why monopoly is a bad thing. T-Mobile, by virtue of being, one of the weaker phone companies, AT&T and Verizon dominate. Sprint and T-Mobile, distant second and third and fourth. They have to try harder. And T-Mobile has just knocked it out of the park in the last year with all sorts of innovative solutions, including very low-cost data plans. There's a pay-as-you-go plan that's as little as $30 a month that would include unlimited XM streaming, $30 a month. The catch is you only get 100 minutes of phone calls for free, but unlimited data and text. I don't ever use my phone anymore, so that's a good deal, $30 a month. So that's what I would do is I'd take a look at another carrier I have to say, because of the changes T-Mobile's made, they've had great growth. They're probably not number three or four anymore. Well, maybe they're catching up anyway. I almost don't want to tell anybody about T-Mobile because it's so few people use it in this area that I'm getting 20 megabits down, 20 megabits up, really fast data on their 4G network. It's phenomenal. Shh, don't tell anybody. T-Mobile, really good. And free Sirius streaming. You pay for Sirius, but no bandwidth. Leo Laporte. Shh. It's our secret. The tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. Just, you know, call via Skype. You'll be able to get through. Back to the phones we go. And Christian, who's on the line from Menifee. Is it Menifee, California?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you for so much for calling me, Leo.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to a fellow geek. What can I do for you?
Well, basically, I made my wish list today. For Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope Santa's going to be good to you. What did you ask for?
I'm thinking about getting myself a gaming laptop.
Nice.
Yeah, my budget is around $1,000.
Hey, you should be good there. I mean, of course, you can look at Alienware and HP. There are a lot of very expensive MSI.
Alienware.
Yeah, Alienware's good. MSI is good. I actually am very interested in the Asus gaming laptops. They make some really nice ones. And if you go to asus.com and you look at their gaming laptops, you'll see that there's a pretty broad range of price points. If you want to spend $3,000, you can get a dual video card in there, a laptop that's got 17-inch screen. What games do you want to play?
Fallout or Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm excited. Are you ready for the new Fallout?
Yep, Fallout 4.
Did you already order the Game Boy Pip?
Oh man, I wish, man. Dude,
I think they're out of those. You put your smartphone in it. It's like a wristband, you play the game, and then you're looking at the wristband. And I'm excited. I think this is going to be the game of the fall, Fallout 4.
Yeah.
So that's that's demanding. The reason I asked you what games you play, if you told me, Minecraft and World of Warcraft, and I play a little Tetris, I would have said you don't need a high-end gaming laptop, but you will want one for sure for Fallout. So I would look at the Asus ROGs, the Republic of Gaming, ROG. They have a variety of different ones in a variety of different price points. They're Windows 10, and they support DirectX 12. That's something you're going to be looking for, okay? DirectX 12 support.
Oh, okay.
That's the new DirectX in Windows 10, and it's a big improvement. And newer games, I'm sure Fallout included, will want it and will work better if you have it. So I think the Republic of Gamers notebooks are, frankly, my first choice. And I think that there are a variety of prices. So, you can figure it out. Based on your budget, they start. Let's price it low to high, and I'll tell you the low price. They might be a little bit. I don't know if they're out of your budget or not. They might be a little bit more expensive than I realized. That's too bad.
How expensive are they?
Well, I think they're maybe like. I think they maybe start maybe like at $2,000.
Well, $2,000. My gosh.
I know, but that's because they come with 24 gigs of memory and an i7 processor.
Oh, yeah.
And NVIDIA's, 980 video card. So, all right, let's go down. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get your hopes up. This is the one I would probably buy, but... you also want to look. Alienware is good. The problem with gaming laptops are that it's hard to tell if they're more expensive because they're actually better, or they're more expensive because they have fancy styling and they're quote gaming laptops. You know, if you're buying the brand.
The brand I was thinking of is Asus or or Alienware.
Well, you can't. You couldn't go wrong with either one. Alienware, which is now owned by Dell, also has a broad range of laptops, and you would absolutely be able to find one in your price point. The thing you're going to be looking for is a DirectX 12 compatible video card. I think that's the single most important thing at this point. Not because I may be wrong that Fallout may not require it, but certainly games as they start coming out next year will. Not require it, but want it.
Oh, wow.
So I would look for something, you're going to get a Windows 10. You're going to get you're going to want to get probably an NVIDIA DirectX 12 video card. An i7 would be nice, an i5 is fine. There are many of them. Somebody in the chat room is reminding me about Sager, S-A-G-E-R. They've been around a long time, SagerNotebook.com. I mean, the price is dependent on the hardware. Some of it goes to, Alienware looks like an alien made it. They have fancy lighting and, they're very cool looking. But they do start at $999, the Alienware 13. But it's kind of not the – you're getting what you pay for, right? You're getting the capabilities that you can afford. Some of it's styling, but I feel like some of that really, this is – you're talking about video cards in here is what you're thinking about. So get as much as you can. The $1,000 one comes with an i5. That's fine. Windows 10 Home. 8 gigs of memory. The GTX 960M, that's the mobile 960, that's fine. You know what? This would be fine. You might have to put up with a little bit less frame rate in Fallout 4. A little bit lower resolution, but because it's a 13-inch screen, that's not going to be as important. You get what you pay for in gaming, and gamers are what drive the PC industry. They are what pushes the PC industry forward because, frankly, gaming is the most demanding programs running on Windows today. Maybe, I guess you could say video editing and 3D modeling, but really gaming is hard. If you think about it, what a game is doing, especially a game like Far Cry, is amazing. You have an entire world you're moving through. The CPU is figuring out, the central processing unit is figuring out where you are in the world, what you're looking at, what you're pointing at, where your bullets are going, what's out there. It's got to do a lot of calculations about the world you're in. And then the graphics processor, the GPU, is drawing all that. And it's drawing that 20, 30, 40, 50 times a second, updating it each time. And with millions of polygons, it's really kind of like doing Toy Story in real time. And so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. MSI is good. Asus is good. Alienware is good. Those are the big brand names. There are a few others. I'm personally kind of fond right now of the ROG, Republic of Gaming Laptops from Alienware. And it's not because they have dual exhaust. Okay, I know a lot of you look at me saying, Leo, you're being seduced by the dual exhaust. They literally have on the back of the laptop two big ports. They look like that. You look like you're driving an F-150. Truck and the heat comes out those ports, and as you're playing the game it gets hot. That's cool. Now that's what you're looking for in a gaming laptop. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, techguylabs.com. More of your calls right after this. This show brought to you by our friends at Next Issue. Are you aware of what Next Issue is? I think of it, and I don't know if they approve this description, but I think of it as Netflix for magazines. There's a lot of great content in print magazines, but I don't want to buy them because usually it's just one or two articles I want to read. They stack up. They add to the clutter in my house. Next Issue solves all that. If you have a phone or a tablet, you can download the Next Issue app, iOS or Android, and then subscribe to all the magazines you love. It's really pretty amazing, and it's so affordable that what you'll end up doing is subscribing to Next Issue. You read an article here, an article there. I pretend that I get it for Wired Magazine and Bloomberg Business Week, but really sometimes I have to say I'm reading Entertainment Weekly and People and Us. But it's all there, and that's what's nice. There's great cooking magazines. There's Consumer Reports. cosmopolitan, country living, all the technology stuff, all the business stuff, crafts. I mean, literally hundreds of magazines and one flat monthly rate. See, Rolling Stone's a good example, and The New Yorker, too. They just gather dust on my floor, but there are plenty of articles each week that I want to read in both of them. Iconic magazines like Fast Company, Esquire, Rolling Stone, Wired, Bloomberg Business, magazines you may never have heard about. Now, one of the nice things about Next Issue, your magazine on your iPad or your tablet or your phone will look exactly the same as if you're reading the magazine. But you also get additional options, bonus features, videos. Declutter your life. Discover new content that fits your passions and interests. It'll let you dive deeper into the story with interactive content. You're going to love it. And by the way, you get immediate access to all of the top magazines, including back issues, plus all those exclusive videos and photos. Here's what you do. Go to nextissue.com/techguy. You can get a 30-day free trial. See what it's like for a month. Read the most popular magazines for a month at no cost to you. Download the mobile app. Start building your library. Explore the many magazines at your fingertips. That's Next Issue. nextissue.com/techguy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, with our travel guru, Johnny Jett. You know, Johnny, you're the sweetest, most humble guy ever. I love following you on Instagram to see your great pictures. And you were taking pictures this week of our great country of Wyoming and Montana. You were in Yellowstone Park.
Beautiful. I highly recommend it. If you've never been, it was my first time, and I'm sad it's taken me this long to get there, but it is at the top of my list. What a place.
Actual bison. I'm going to call them right. Bison in the road. Look at that.
It was. I felt like I was on another planet when I saw it. I was like, yeah. What? I just stuck my head out the window, grabbed my camera.
This is a great picture. You see the two motorcyclists waiting for the bison to move? This is a award-winning photo, and you can find it on Instagram.com/JohnnyJett. And, of course, JohnnyJett.com is his website.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So Johnny comes to us each week with a travel app and a travel site.
So I had some stuff prepared, but I was just at In-N-Out Burger, by the way.
Oh, I've been everywhere. I've been to Five Guys Fried Steak and Shake and In-N-Out Burger. I've been...
And White I'm waiting Castle to eat it. Oh, I haven't eaten it yet, but no.
There's
one
nothing
of my buddies,
colder than a cold In-N-Out burger. You better start chowing down on that.
That's true. I'm glad my wife's not here because the house smells terrible.
Right, I know. Now. I know.
It smells so good when I picked it up.
It's so good.
That's why you should never bring hamburgers on the plane.
Did you get a double-double animal style?
Sure did. But actually, didn't get an animal style. But anyway, I was going to mention some other sites, but I was there for Cranky Flyer. They had a dork fest where all these aviation geeks fly in from all around the country just to plane spot for the afternoon.
Oh, fun.
Which is pretty cool. So actually, I think I mentioned this years ago, this app, Flight Radar 24.
Love this app. You did, and I've been using it ever since.
So did you pay for the upgraded version?
No,
$3.99. You got to pay the $3.99.
Okay.
And then on the app, you hit the binoculars. And it shows you the planes in the sky.
Nice.
So if you're at In-N-Out Burger or wherever, and you're like,
you look up.
I wonder where that plane's going to or coming from.
Yeah.
You just hit it, and it will show you exactly. It's
neat.
It's awesome. So I highly recommend that, especially if you're, an aviation geek like I am, and a lot of my friends are.
There's somewhere a database of all the planes everywhere, right? I mean, you can see every plane in the sky, right?
Actually, I think it's these guys in Scandinavia that set it up, and they just started putting transponders all around the world.
Wow. And now they can monitor. The plane, and you see what plane it is, what flight it is, all the information.
But the app is better than the website because you need to click the binoculars, and you can hold your phone up to the sky, and it will show you what that plane is.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the cool part.
All right, $1.99, I'm buying it.
It's $3.99, and then if you pay an extra dollar, you can actually see the different plane types, which I love, like 777. So
$4, big deal. Spend the money.
That's what everyone at the Dork Fest just now, everyone was on it. And they're like, okay, here comes a 777 from China. So we're all ready.
Dork Fest. You went to In-N-Out Burger for Dork Fest.
Yep, that's what they do.
That's what
they
do.
So anyway.
When you're Johnny Jett, sometimes you have to do it.
And the guy who arranged it, by the way, is Cranky Flyer. I think I mentioned before, but he has a cool site that I'd never mentioned before. It's a service, not a site, but crankyconcierge.com. So Cranky, C-R-A-N-K-Y, and then Concierge, C-O-N, I can't even spell concierge. There it is. C-O-N-C-I-E-R-G-E.
Spelled like sommelier, only different.
I have my mind on the burgers right now.
I don't blame you.
So what he does, if you ever need flight information, like if you're nervous about flying or whatever, they'll monitor your flights for $15. Or, God forbid, there's like a big earthquake or a winter storm or volcano. He can, instead of spending hours on the phone, trying to get your flight changed or whatever, they will do it for you for $150.
So they're not just sending you text messages. They're actually fixing things.
They can. The flight monitoring is mostly text and email. But the urgent assistance, you just get on the phone with them and they'll do all the dirty work.
Can you buy that when you need it? Like not ahead of time, but just buy
yes,
it when
you need it? Yeah. Or you could have them book your flight and that would be better. I think that might even be included. But that's also what a good travel agent would do. That's why I recommend travel agents all the time, especially if you don't want to deal with something like that. A travel agent would take care of everything.
I love my travel agent.
Yeah, who's that?
She's at Travel Store, which I guess is a group of travel agents. Her name is Jane Zugsmith. She is incredible.
And does she offer that kind of monitoring and service?
She does everything. And, she's been really great with advice, I mean, she's like, it's like having your own personal Johnny Jett on the phone. And Dr. Mom is the one who told me about her. She said, Dr. Mom's travel agent. She said, you got to get Jane on the job. So she is, I'll give you, she's down your way,
Okay. I got a good agent too, John Decker. He's in Huntington Beach. But I usually book him for international first and business because he gets deals for like that are usually coach prices. But
you would think they'd be out of business, right? You'd think everybody could do this themselves. No, there's a skill.
Well, the bad ones are out of business. All the good ones.
So if you're still doing it, you're one of the good ones. Yeah. So
always book a cruise through a travel agent, safari, anything big. It's going to spend a lot of money. But I do have another app for you since this one I did prepare a little bit for. So Natalie was sick this week.
Oh.
Yeah, she had this nasty cough. We just did a round the world trip. So she picked something up in France.
She got the Ebola.
No, thank goodness.
No.
Thank goodness. But so this app is called Good, GoodRx. So this is just for the U.S. But, when a lot of people are traveling around the U.S., especially this fall, and they get sick, they're trying to find a pharmacy. So this will tell you the closest pharmacy, not only the closest one, but it'll tell you what the prices are for the different prescriptions.
Oh, this is nice.
So it's handy to have. I've mentioned something similar to this once before. Travel Smart app, which is by Allianz Global Assistance, the insurance company.
Yeah.
But they actually don't have a pharmacy finder. What they do is they tell you they have a drug dictionary, which is great for international translations and things like that. But both of them are free.
Nice.
iOS, Android, and but GoodRx, it's handy if you're traveling around the U.S. looking for a prescription that's affordable.
Yeah, Jane got us travel insurance. She said, just like you did, don't ever get the travel insurance from the company you're traveling with. Right. Get it from a third party. She got it from Allianz. And she said a smart thing. She says, I don't buy the insurance. I just buy it for the deposit up at first because that's all you're at risk for. As soon as you pay the full amount, we'll then upgrade the insurance to cover the full amount. I thought, that's clever. I would have just bought it for the whole thing, but that saves you a little money. Good travel agent, I'm telling you.
That's a good tip.
Isn't that good?
I not know that.
Jane, J-A-Y-N, I shouldn't tell you this, J-A-Y-N-E @travelstore.com. She's good.
Well, she's going to be very busy now.
I'm sorry, Jane. I'm sorry.
She should be happy, but she's going to be in demand. You should be sorry.
I blew it because I got her full attention, and now she... Oh, Leo, I'm too busy now with the big, big people in L.A., the Hollywood types.
And I saw that you guys went through New York yesterday, and I saw Lisa's
update. September 11th. What a touching moment. I was a little I had some trepidation about traveling on September 11th, but I thought, gosh darn it, I'm not going to let the bad guys stop us. We were at Battery Park. We were staying at the hotel in the Battery Park, which is right next to the memorial. So we paid our respects the day before because we knew it would be crazy at the 9/11 memorial. Yeah, the Ritz-Carlton down there. Beautiful, nice. Beautiful hotel. And it's just gorgeous. It's a beautiful memorial. Where the original two buildings that came down were, they made a beautiful pond that has a waterfall that goes in. And it's very moving. And you stand there and you just, tears come to your well up. And then, so we're at the airport at the actual moment. They stopped the traffic on the bridges. And I mean, they're really serious in New York about this. We're at the airport. All of a sudden, all the TSA agents stop. Everybody stops. They announce at the airport, this is JFK. You know, this is in honor of America Airlines 77. That those people died at this moment, and everybody stopped, and everybody was crying. And then one of the agents sang, God Bless America, and I'll never forget it. Beautiful.
That's amazing.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I didn't want to, you know, I know they're funny about taking pictures of the TSA, but I really wanted
You can take pictures.
In that case, I wanted to capture that moment.
Video. You should have videotaped that.
I did. It's on my Instagram.
Oh, you did?
But it's only
a few
seconds.
I got to go look at that.
It's only a few seconds. It's not. Let me show you. I'll just show you.
So I was in New York on 9/11, and I lost one of my good buddies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From high school, he took the job 3 weeks before.
Oh.
It's on the 88th floor at Cantor and Fitzgerald. My sister lost her neighbor. It was just. It was a time I'll never forget in my life.
Devastating. Well, I flew to New York about 2 weeks later, and because I was doing Regis and Kelly. And I went to what was then just the pit with a cyclone fence all around it and all these
pictures, you know, everywhere.
Pictures and flowers and memorials. And it's so – you just – your heart – and I don't know anybody who died, but your heart just comes to your mouth. And then on the plane, you know, we had JetBlue. By the way, Mint, we had JetBlue, and I was watching the memorials on the DirecTV, and they're just reading the names, and it's just –
yep.
It's just so moving. Anyway, this is the picture of – so we're standing, and, it you know, fortunately we went early to the airport, but all of a sudden they just stopped processing people. And they all lined up, all the TSA agents. They paused because, you know, those two flights – two of those flights came out of JFK,
right.
United 93 and AA-77. So they paused, and they said, and now, you know, in honor of the – crew and the passenger on the AA-77, a moment of silence. And then one of the guys started singing God Bless America. This is just the very end of it here. I'll play the...
See the big guy right below the sign?
Yeah. That's the guy singing right there.
Yep.
It was so unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, I was crying. Lisa was crying. Yeah. Just a little...
If you got that whole video, that would have gone viral.
I should have got the whole thing, but I just felt I didn't want to impose.
Well, that's how I felt when I had that fallen soldier on my flight, and I kind of hit it, but I took it, and next thing you know, the thing had 2 million views in 2 days. It's something that people need to see.
It touches people, and they do need to see it. I think you're right,
and it gives people a better. You know, feeling for America, because if you travel overseas, not everyone has the same feeling. And then when they start hearing about these things, because usually on the news and in other countries, they're playing Jerry Springer or showing stuff like that.
They get the wrong point of view.
Ew.
Well, and anyway, yep.
Anyway.
But I was proud of...
My buddy's name was Cesar Murillo, by the way.
Cesar Murillo.
Yeah, he was the man.
How old was he?
Young. He was 30.
Yeah.
30.
You know, one of the people reading the names was a 14-year-old boy who lost his father. He says, I was only 3 months old when my dad died. I don't remember him, but we, you know, stand and is a living testament to his life, and we'll never forget you, Dad. And I was like, oh my God.
Hey, those guys, those firefighters were...
And the firefighters who ran in.
And the flight attendants people forget a lot about. These guys were all the heroes.
They were amazing heroes.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, next week we'll talk about something more cheerful.
Okay. That's cheerful. You know what? That's cheerful.
It is.
It's the human spirit rising above some horrific stuff. And you're in New York. It's funny how you really – it's there. Boy, everybody, everywhere. Very aware.
There was a funeral every day, you know, for a month while I was there.
Yeah. So you lived in New York at the time?
I was commuting, but I was in my apartment, and my internet wasn't working.
One of our hosts, Jeff Jarvis, just got off the PATH train, you know, 15 minutes before. Anyway, got to run. Thank you, Johnny.
Take care.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 88 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Back to the phones. Jamie in Hollywood. Hello, Jamie.
Hollywood. Is that the guy?
This is the guy. Are you the guy? Wow. Here's the guy talking to the guy.
Wow, I'm talking to the guy that I've been treasuring.
Thank you, Jamie. Nice to talk to you.
For so many years.
Oh, you're very kind.
So many years. Scott Wilkinson, Johnny Jett, Dr. Mom. Good Lord.
It's kind of a family now. It's kind of a family, isn't it? We were in New York, as I mentioned, and on Wednesday we had a meetup of fans at a little bar.
My old hometown.
So much fun. Seeing everybody. Dr. Mom was there. Dick DiBartolo, our Giz Whiz, who's coming up in an hour, was there. Anyway, thanks to everybody.
Is the stream still on your boat?
On my boat? I think they advertise on one of our local stations. They don't advertise on the network.
They're fools if they don't come back to you.
I think we sold a few accounts.
Good. A lot of friends out here call me a business intuitionist. Do you know what that means?
I like it, though. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
You're a seer.
Kind of. Runs in the family.
Kind of like a Thomas Nostradamus. Kind of a, I see the future.
That's very kind. You're very kind.
What do you see as the future, Mr. Business Intuitionist? What do you see?
You want to talk about your birthday or where are we going?
No. Let's do that. Let's stick with technology.
Let's do that. And it's got a chip in it. I swear it does.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that and maybe a little website if you're kind of.
I'll give you a plug. We always like to do that.
So,
sure.
It does have a chip in it. I believe it's the hottest gift of the year.
What is that?
What do you think about this? Because, I know you reviewed it and you talked about it for a little bit. And that's the Amazon Echo. I have my own play on the Apple University that's happening.
So let's talk about the Amazon Echo, which is a black tube with a speaker and a microphone in it, and it has a name, and you can talk to it, and it will do things for you. It's kind of like Siri, but on a permanent installation. And typically what people will do, you can ask it to read the news. You can say, Echo, how tall is the Empire State Building? You can, you can do searches with it. I use it to read my audiobooks. I use it to read my audiobooks.
49 squares, 421,201.
You see what I'm saying? That's Echo.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you how all in I am. I have two of them.
Yeah,
I have one in the bedroom, one in the kitchen. I wish I had more. I want one in my office, too, because once you get used to talking, you don't feel like you're talking to the Echo. You feel like you're talking to the room.
Weird, right?
I use it in the kitchen. I'll say, set a timer for 12 minutes, set a timer for 8 minutes, set a timer for 4 minutes.
Multiple timers. Great. Yeah. What's the prime divided by 4?
The prime number is a natural number. Great idea.
I'm sorry.
You paused too long, and Alexa said, I'm going to talk.
She overrides it, and she's always louder.
Yeah.
Alexa, what's pi divided by 4?
I can't find the answer to the question.
You made it too hard.
What is pi divided by 4? Anyways,
it's pretty amazing. Last night I wanted to listen to one of our shows, and my wife was laughing because I started, as one does, with her name. I'm not going to say the name on the radio because I don't want to trigger it. But I said, Echo, play Twit Live, and then I went, and it started playing the right show. You've had that happen, right? You start to, anytime you're dictating to a device, whether it's Siri, Google Now, Echo, sometimes you forget what you were going to say, and you go, she got it. I don't know how. She knew what I wanted.
It is such a treat to talk to you. I've been listening to you for over 15 years, and it's a real treasure to talk to you.
James, business of intuitionist. Tell me what your website is. We'll get a plug in here.
Well, I am actually for hire right now. I'm a business intuitionist, jamiepreston.com.
J-A-M-I-E?
Jamie, Preston.com.
Preston.com. And do you will you read my palm? Will you read the tea leaves? What will you use for your...
We just talk. We talk about technology and life, it just spans out automatically.
I like it.
It happens over wine, over a good bottle of wine.
And you're also an actor, I see.
I did a little stuff. If you want to look at How to Get Away with Murder, you'll see me on the first episode September 24th on How to Get Away with Murder. And but more importantly, that's side stuff. More importantly, if Apple hired me yesterday, I would pick you all day because you're my fave. Just let you know. Just let you know.
Jamie, God bless. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. JamiePreston.com. J-A-M-I-E. Line three, Art, Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, the thing that crosses my mind is that I am having so much trouble with Windows 10.
Are you? Tell me what your troubles are.
Oh, okay. First of all, I have two computers. I have an Acer 7600U. It's an all-in-one 27-inch beautiful machine.
Yeah.
Okay, I went and I did like I was a good little boy supposed to, registered to get the Windows 10.
All right.
It didn't come back and tell me that, hey, you can load now, so I got anxious.
Mistake numero uno. I did the same thing.
And found out, I could load it myself.
Yeah,
so
don't.
We did that.
Yeah, don't. So there's a reason why Microsoft didn't say it's ready for you. There are compatibility issues of some kind.
Yeah, so, and I think I found out what that was. It was NVIDIA card.
Yep. Sorry. So my strong advice, and I did this. Look, I'm impatient too. I did the same thing. I had a Dell, brand new. I got it earlier this year, XPS 13. I got impatient. I downloaded Windows 10 and installed it. Never activated. Drivers didn't work, blah, blah, blah. So I rolled back, and you can do this still. You have 30 days to do it. Go to the hit Windows key type recovery. You'll see recovery options. One of them is to roll back to your previous version of Windows. Do that.
I can't.
Why not?
I think I deleted the file.
You went all in, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll tell you what I did. I rolled back and I waited almost immediately. Microsoft said, okay, we got it for you now. And the reason the difference was the ISO I downloaded from Microsoft, the file I downloaded from Microsoft, didn't include all the Dell stuff, didn't include all the Dell drivers. When I did the upgrade, when Microsoft said go, it did. The Dell updater was there. All of the Dell drivers, everything worked. It activated immediately. It was a much better experience. Now, here's the good news. You can't roll back. You should, if, by the way, this happens to you, everybody else, you should roll back and wait. But if you were impatient, not everything's working, the good news is you're only a week or two away, maybe three, from a big update, basically Service Pack 1, that probably will fix many of these problems. If you can't roll back because you went all in and you deleted the rollback, you're stuck. Try to live with the bugs. They're making improvements all the time. I've been using what they call Threshold 2. That's the code name. That'll come out next month, and it's much more stable. I think you're going to like it. Leo Laporte. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones, smartwatches, anything with a chip in it. 8888 Ask Leo. That is my phone number. If you want to call with a question, a comment, a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. We should talk about Facebook, shouldn't we?
Apparently we should.
We should talk about Facebook. So Kim Schaffer, our phone ranger here for the day, answering your calls. You noted on your Facebook page that all of a sudden you got like all these new people saying, "When you want to be my friend?" Do you allow non-friend, like people you don't know in real life to be friends? Do you allow
that?
Well,
I did until last night, but I was sitting having a beer and in like 15, 20 minutes, I had 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yikes.
Every time I looked at my Facebook, I had another request from somebody who clearly wasn't a real person.
Yeah.
And it's because they had no other friends or one other friend.
So that was a red flag there.
Yeah, I knew.
These
they
are
weren't real
obviously
people.
New accounts.
And they had no mutual friends. I mean, not only did they not have any friends, they definitely didn't have any mutual friends.
Yeah. So what did you do?
I went to the settings because a friend told me that I should go to the settings and change to friends of friends only.
Yes.
Instead of everyone, which I don't like to, block out people because maybe somebody that's not a friend of a friend I've met and I might want to become friends with. But as for last night, I had to do it at least temporarily just to not be bombarded.
So there were spammers.
Yes.
I never understand what they hope to gain by following you.
Yeah, I don't know what they can do because I'm clearly not going to say yes to them.
Right. So but even if you did, what would they gain?
I don't know. I don't know if they would try to hijack my account. And, you know, I know a lot of people that I know have also been getting people doubling their accounts. They're just taking their photos, taking their information, and making a fake account.
The new Facebook kidnapping. Yeah, I've seen some stories about that. They'll do it with kids, too, which is not so nice.
Well, kids shouldn't be on Facebook.
Right. Actually, the Facebook rules say if you're 13. Under 13, yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. Now, what I do on Facebook, and I would encourage everybody to do this, if you don't, and I told my kids this for years, if you don't know the person in RL, real life, if you've not seen them, if they're not your old high school buddy or your college roommate, if they're not friends and family members, I wouldn't recommend friending them.
Right.
I think Facebook works best when you make friends of the people you know. But at least do what you did, which is go into the privacy settings and tools in Facebook. So you'll click in the right-hand side of the Facebook on the web. There's a little down arrow, and you can select settings, or you can actually just click the settings and the little padlock and look at the privacy shortcuts. But what you want is to decide who can see you, and you have a number of choices. You can have it be the public, which is because I'm a public person, that's how I do my Facebook. But most people should say only friends can see me, right? That keeps your privacy going. But at least you have the choice there. You can limit the audience for posts you've shared, for instance. You can go back in time if you decided now, maybe it was a little too open. You can actually go back and change past posts to limit them to friends only. But here's the section you were talking about. Who can contact me? And the question is, who can send you friend requests? You said it could be everyone.
And
right?
Mine was set to everyone as of last night.
Probably is the default. But
yeah,
I would strongly suggest friends of friends. That means if somebody's not already a friend of somebody you know, of an existing friend, they can't ask you to be their friend. That solves most situations, you know? Mom has it set up this way. No one can be her friend because she doesn't want friends. She just wants to use Facebook to look at the grandkids.
Are you her friend?
You know, I don't think so. That's an interesting question. Now you made me want to cry. So set this to friends of friends, okay? Because that's really going to be important. You can go through some of the other settings, like whose messages do I want in my inbox, basic or strict? I'd say strict, right? Who can look you up via your email address? Probably should make that friends of friends, not public. Unless you're hoping that high school boyfriend will look you up and you don't know where he is. But it's important. You know, I'm not going to comment on what your choices should be, but it's important you know that you can go in there and change those settings. And it makes a big difference. I'll show you one more tip that my friend Robert Scoble showed me. I'm going to go back to my home. If somebody is publishing too much, you're seeing too much of them in your timeline, of course, you can always unfollow them. That's probably not what you want to do. You can hide the post, and that'll help send a signal to Facebook that you want to see fewer posts like this. But you can also change your relationship with them. If you look at your friends, there's close friends and there's acquaintances. And if you're seeing too much from people that are currently close friends, you can actually change their setting from friends to acquaintances. And by doing so, you reduce the number of posts you get from that person. So you can kind of control, if somebody's posting an awful lot about stuff you don't really want to see, instead of unfriending them, which might seem unfriendly, you can just say, that person's an acquaintance. You can even add them to another list, but you can always unfriend them if they really are annoying. So there are ways to make Facebook, frankly, more usable, more friendly. There's one more thing I'll mention, and Facebook probably wouldn't want me to mention this. If you use Chrome, there's an extension called the Facebook Flat extension. This works on the web only, but it will change Facebook from its normal kind of busy, cluttered appearance to something flat, which is frankly a lot easier to use, is ad-free, and really focuses on the posts. You can search for Facebook Flat in your Chrome extensions, and I find that to be kind of a nice way to kind of streamline my Facebook web pages. But I think the first thing to do is, you went friends of friends, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a lot of comments that I got were, it was a common problem yesterday.
From those spammers?
In particular, yeah. it seems like a lot of people I know
interesting
got just bombarded. So I don't know what the significance of yesterday was, but
oh, you know, probably these things are all done by robots, I'm sorry to say, and so probably somebody just set up a new robot and started doing a lot of this. It's spam. It's a form of spam. Probably once you friended them, they'd start feeding spam into your news feed.
No, but I never would. I'm pretty particular.
Well, they count on people not being so particular. Yeah. So good for you that you're smart enough to do that. And I have no problem with having friends of friends. That's how I do it. But, of course, I'm also a public, so I allow anybody to follow me, which means people can follow my Facebook posts. But, see, I know what I'm doing. I'm not – if I don't want people to see it, I can make a post – only friends, or you know, make it more private, and most of the time it's
requests
public.
Requests that for that reason as well, just because of the whole media connection.
Yeah, if you're a public figure,
I'm not a public figure, but media.
What do you mean? You're on the radio. I hear you every week on the radio.
Just with you.
I think you are a public figure. Bad news, Kim. Oh dear.
Uh
oh. Kim Schaffer answering the phones and unfriending as we go. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. It's a good idea with Facebook, especially because they change the rules a lot, to kind of go in there every once in a while. Look at those security and privacy settings. They've made that much easier. If you click on that padlock, the most important settings are there. And you can go in there and pay attention because, you know, frankly, Facebook should be a place that's a safe space for you to post, to talk to friends, to talk to family members. And you want to keep it that way. And so choosing the right people to befriend on Facebook helps a lot. Website is techguylabs.com. We'll put that as our tip of the week. A couple of things you can do to make Facebook more useful, more better. And I'll link to a special I did about an hour with Robert Scoble, who was kind of the social media guru for a lot of us. And he talked about how he controls Facebook to make it more useful. We'll put a link to that video up on the website as well. TechGuyLabs.com. All right, we're going to go back to the phones in just a bit. Dick DiBartolo, our Gizwiz, coming up in about half an hour. You stay right here. Another half hour to go. Our podcast today, as always, well, not always, but many times, brought to you by our good friends at Intel. I guess in a way, always brought to you by Intel, since every darn computer we use in here is Intel-powered. Lately, Intel's been doing these great two-in-ones. Are you familiar with these? Like the Surface, the Yoga. You don't have to choose between a laptop or a tablet. You get both with Intel-powered two-in-ones. You get performance and freedom. You don't have to choose. And, you know, if you're a business owner, you don't want to compromise. You can't afford to choose between A and B. If both will help your business, you want A and B. It's not hard work or innovation that drives business. It's hard work and innovation. It's versatility and strength. It's Intel's performance and freedom. Intel two-in-ones are powered by Intel's latest family of core processors. You'll be impressing clients at the touch of a tablet and handle robust programs on the go. You can do it right, and you can do it right now. There is a better way to work. That's the power of and. Experience it at smallbusiness.intel.com. Those fifth-generation Intel Core processors, up to 2.5 times faster than that old 4-year-old laptop. Battery life of the fifth-gen Intel Core processor, about 8.7 hours. That's 2.6 times longer than that 4-year-old laptop. It's time to upgrade. And even the Intel Core M processors, I use that in my MacBook, pretty darn impressive. Deliver razor-thin tablets and ultra-fast laptops in a single mobile device. The Intel Core M processor-based 2-in-1 provides the optimal combination of business-class performance and battery life. And you know, the Core M is fast enough for 99% of everything, 100% of everything I do. Don't forget the Intel wireless display. Both 5th-gen Core and Core M processors wirelessly stream all the things you need to do. Presentations, videos, websites, and more live from your PC to your display. I love wireless display. Follow Intel's small business account on Twitter. They're at Intel Small Biz. And experience the power of and at smallbusiness.intel.com. Find out how Intel-powered 2-in-1s can improve your small business. That's smallbusiness.intel.com. And we thank Intel for their support and for the processors that power the entire operation here. Smallbusiness.intel.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Ellie is on the line. My old friend from Honolulu. Aloha, Ellie.
Aloha. Aloha, Leo.
How are you today?
Hey, Leo, will the friendly ghost deliver to Hawaii?
The what?
The friendly ghost.
Casper. People don't know what you're talking about, you understand? She's talking about our sponsor, Casper Mattresses. So how are things in Hawaii? I hear you've dodged a bunch of storms.
Oh, so many hurricanes we've dodged. It's been so humid and rainy, and it's been awful.
It could be worse. They could have hit the island.
Yes, I know.
Well, I'm glad you're safe and sound and doing well. And your website, is that ever going to come back?
Oh, maybe one of these days when I'm feeling up to speed.
Hawaii Through Our Eyes. It was a great idea. A website for older people, disabled folks, a chance to learn about accessibility in Hawaii. And you've always been a great resource for us on accessibility. Are you going to get a new iPhone? What do you think?
I would like to. I have a 6, but I want to play with the new 3D touch that they call it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll play with it, and I'll let you know if it's worth your efforts and money. I don't know how Apple continues to charge so much money for their phones. You know, I'm looking. I just got the...
I don't know why they can't do away with the 16 gig altogether and start with the 32.
Well, a lot of people are asking that. And that's because they want to quote that $650 starting price point.
Right. I realize that.
But no one should buy a 16 gig iPhone.
No. But my question was about the Apple Watch, and then I had a quick question about Apple TV, the original, not the original one, but the one that's out now.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Apple Watch, I don't have one, but if you get it, and I like to use the accessibility because I could read the time and everything. But
I have a friend who's blind who has an Apple Watch, swears by it because he says it's the best talking watch I've ever had.
Yeah, but can you hear it? Like if you're in a crowd or something.
He says you can. He says he can hear it quite well. If you can't, of course, there are Bluetooth headsets you can use. It'll talk through that. You can also, one of the reasons I'm looking forward to getting the new iPhone and my Apple Watch updated is my hearing aids. I use hearing aids. I can hear through the hearing aids. So you could actually hear the talking time through the hearing aid as well. So there are ways.
Okay,
and I'm not an expert, as you know, Ellie. I'm not an expert, but but I was told that the accessibility on the Apple Watch is quite good.
Because I don't want to take my wrist and keep putting it up to my ear.
Yeah, I know.
It's driving me crazy.
You know, I've had phone conversations in the Apple Watch, and holding the watch, you know, kind of at somewhere between my waist and my chest has been just fine. I can have the conversation. I say, "Can you hear me okay?" And they say, "Yes," in a normal voice. I can hear them. So I think the Apple Watch is quite, actually, audio is quite surprisingly clear.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like it's clear for a little wristwatch.
I love the audio on the audio FaceTime calls. I think it's great. It's better than the regular iPhone call.
Yep, FaceTime, I'm pretty sure FaceTime will be supported in 2.0 if it's not already. I will be very clear, as I have been before. The Apple Watch is a luxury, not a necessity. It's an accessory. People who love gadgets love it. There are some specific uses, for instance, if you're blind, that make a lot of sense. But for most people, the Apple Watch is not a necessity by any means. It's something fun to have.
But my TV, the Apple TV, the streaming keeps stuttering. We'll be watching a baseball game, and all of a sudden, it'll just freeze.
So there's really only one thing you can do to make that better, which is to hardwire your Apple TV to your internet.
Okay, because we have it running through the time capsule.
Yeah. So Wi-Fi is always going to be problematic. So if you can get a wire from your router to the Apple TV, that will be better. It may just be that your internet connectivity is not sufficient. A lot of times, you know, people have these problems, video stuttering, and they kind of, I'll hear it from them all the time. Hey, you know, I can't watch your video because it keeps stuttering. And I want to tell them, but that's your end, not my end. I'm sending the video. But if you don't have enough bandwidth, video is a hard thing to do.
Right.
So it's really up to your internet service provider giving you enough bandwidth, and then you making sure that bandwidth, 100% of it, gets to the Apple TV. Wi-Fi is not great. The time capsule, I have to say, for a long time, I've been a big fan of Apple's routers. I have the latest Airport Extreme, the AC version. Very disappointed with it. It drops signals all the time.
Have the one still from 08, you know,
well,
that one.
I think the quality's gone downhill on these things. I replaced it with an Asus router, the AC3200, and I'm blown away. I'd never drop a signal. It's about twice as fast. Apple used to make the creme de la creme for consumer grade Wi-Fi routers. And I told everybody, I've told you on the show probably for years, Airport Extreme, it's expensive, but it's worth it. If you're going to pay that much money, and we're talking $160, $180, there are better routers out there. There are even better routers for less. I think Apple has, for some reason, the quality on the AC Airport Extreme is very disappointing. And you know, I didn't believe it for a long time. My wife would say, Wi-Fi's gone out again. I'm seeing it. Nope, it's gone. It drops all the time. No, but I'm seeing it. Nope. Leo, it's dropping.
I'm seeing it.
Finally, I said, all right, let me see if I can get a better router. Got the Asus. I haven't heard a word. She's happy. Happy wife, happy router. 8888, ask Leo. Great to hear from you, Ellie. Stay safe, stay dry, avoid the storms. Thanks for joining us. Tom in Toronto, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Long-time listener. I mean, the watcher. I've watched you since the Screensavers, Lab with Leo, Call for Help.
Yay!
You and Amber MacArthur, Andy Walker. I mean, oh, go back a long ways. I've been on your show a few times even.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I hear they're still running those shows in Canada.
Yeah. I watched the episode I've been on. I watched it online a few times.
So funny. Rogers, which made those shows, I was going up there from 2004 to about 2007 making those shows. They still run the one where Amber MacArthur introduces me to this brand new website that lets you put videos up. It's called YouTube. I can't believe you must think we're idiots when you tune in and Leo and Amber are just exclaiming about how cool YouTube is. Ooh, it's such a great discovery. That was a long time ago, folks. She was one of the first to discover it. Hey, what can I do for you? Because I don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay. I've got a Nexus 5, both me and my wife, and we love the phone. I mean, we've had it for almost 3 years now.
Yep.
The battery life, it seems to be depleting a little bit.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, there's a certain number of charges, discharges that any lithium-ion battery can do, round about 500. Over 3 years, you probably used them up. You could contact Google about fixing it, but you know that on September 29th, Google's having an event to announce the new Nexus 5.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was going to ask you. You know, which phone do you think is, should I wait for that?
Or I would.
I'm looking at the LG 4. What do you think of that?
My favorite right now, I would wait and find out what Google does with the Nexus 5, because that was a great phone. It's pure Google. Right. The other one to maybe look at, Price is Right, is the
Motorola,
the Moto X Pure. I just got mine, so it's too early for me to give you a review. But tune in next week. I'll let you know what I think. Mainly, I'm interested in battery life, because increasingly, that is the make or break stat on these phones. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And back to the phones we go. Our next call from Lee in San Fernando Valley. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
Enjoy your show. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And being an old radio guy myself, you're very good on the air.
Oh, well, you know, thank you. Gosh, yeah. Gorsh.
Gorsh.
I don't know what to say. Thank you.
Golly gee.
Golly.
Listen, I'm here to ask you about Ancient Aliens.
Ah.
I'm running Windows XP.
Whoa.
XP Pro Service Pack 3.
Okay.
I've been asked why I'm doing that, mainly because it works.
That's a very good reason.
Yeah, and it works with old software that I have, and I don't want to have to go through the whole update thing. But I did run into a problem a few months ago, and, of course, Windows has stopped supporting Windows XP.
Yeah.
But they've still been sending downline Windows updates.
They have.
Oh, yeah. And
they said they were going to stop doing that. Maybe they're doing critical updates.
Yes, exactly. Well, one of them they deemed critical was malicious software removal tool.
Yeah.
And it kept installing it and installing it, and I'd go back in to program, add, remove, and take it out and take it out.
Why didn't you want it, just out of curiosity?
What, the malicious software removal?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want it. It kept repeatedly installing
it
and again and again.
Oh, I see.
So I was trying to stop it and just take the one update.
Right.
And no matter what I did, as soon as I rebooted, come back in. There it is again. It's like one of those things that keeps appearing in the Windows registry.
The Windows software removal tool is updated every month. That is normal.
Yeah.
Because it's like an antivirus. It's not, and they'll be quick to say it's not. What it is a easy way for Microsoft to clobber the most common infections. Kind of almost invisibly, because most people aren't really aware of it being installed. There is no icon, as you know, in the menu.
The only place you can find it is in the add remove program.
Yeah, or you can command line it, MRT. If you hit Windows key R and you type MRT, it'll run. And we do recommend that. It's a useful tool. It's not a replacement for an antivirus, but it is, it is a good idea. You know, Microsoft and Apple both, Google too, are looking for ways to protect people kind of transparently without their doing anything, because people tend not to do updates. They tend to not protect themselves. So Microsoft has provided this as a mechanism for just kind of, we're going to install it every second Tuesday of the month, a new, you don't get a whole new program usually. You'll get a new definition file, and it'll do a quick scan of your hard drive so you don't get bothered by it. And if it finds any obvious stuff, it'll remove it. And I think that's good. That's for the internet health. It may be that it's not installed. I'm surprised you're getting updates. I'm a little nervous about that. You shouldn't be. Did you do anything? You didn't do one of those registry hacks people were recommending.
No. I would never do anything like that.
There's a registry hack that rejiggers your Windows XP to pretend it's Windows XP for embedded systems, which Microsoft is continuing to update. And that so far has worked. I'm surprised, but that's people report that actually works to get updates. The reason you want updates is because there be flaws. There are flaws in Windows XP,
right?
Microsoft is no longer fixing. Do you go online with this version of XP?
No, not that much. Only on the browser. You know.
And be careful. Well, that's going online. Be careful about emails. Be careful what you click.
Right, because
you're a little bit vulnerable. I think it's possible to run XP safely, but you've got to first start using a new browser. Don't use Internet Explorer; that's way out of date.
No, I'm not at all. I'm using Firefox.
Good, and they're going to keep that up to date for a while on XP.
Would Windows 7 run most of the older software running on XP?
Yes,
it would.
Yeah, but I would go one by one through those programs and check to see. Because, something that's really, really old and perhaps abandoned by its author, you may not be able to run it except in XP.
I don't have anything like that.
Windows 7 has an XP compatibility mode. I think you have to get Windows 7 Pro for this.
Okay.
And then it runs in a mode that looks exactly like XP. So if there were software that didn't run on 7, you could pretend 7 is XP, and that would solve the problem.
Okay, great.
So I would go to Windows 7 if I were you.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't blame you. You know, my friend Steve Gibson, who's our security guru, says use Windows XP. I say, Steve, you're crazy. But he's a security guru, and that's the difference. He knows exactly what not to do.
Yeah.
One of the things, if you keep running XP, that I would recommend is you don't run as a administrator.
Right.
Run as a limited user.
Right.
Because then the bad guys won't have access, won't be able to install stuff without your explicit permission, and you can say no to that.
Right.
So there are ways to do it.
Most helpful, as always. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I do think going to Windows 7 or even XP to Windows 10, that's a big jump, but it might be a worthwhile jump. You've heard people talk about problems with Windows 10, bugs and so forth. They're fairly limited. I got a very harsh email from somebody. Was really mad at me. He said, I heard you. You're not the tech guy. You're just some tech guy. I heard you say I should upgrade to Windows 10, so I did it. And boy, was that a mistake. For the most part, I've been able to upgrade to Windows 10 from all of my machines without any issues at all. I like Windows 10. It is a much improved user interface over Windows 8. Internals are in many cases better, as is always the case when you get a big upgrade like this. And Microsoft is going to continue to patch it and make it better and better still. There are a few limited compatibility issues. Most of the time, if Microsoft says it's okay to upgrade, in other words, if they invite you to take advantage of the free upgrade from 7 or 8 to Windows 10, it's safe to do so. All your hardware and software should work. You've heard us say, don't rush it. Let Microsoft tell you it's safe. And there are some, you know, isolated issues. I guess he had an issue with Skype not working. I don't know. I've been able to use Skype. It's usually some specialized hardware and software that has problems. I really like Windows 10. I think Microsoft made all the right moves with that one. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Dick DeBartolo's coming up, our Gizwiz. We got a gadget of the day. If I have time, we'll take a couple more calls. Don't forget our website, techguylabs.com. That's where I put all the stuff that we talk about. Techguylabs.com. As I mentioned, you know, it's smartphone insanity right now. I've been using the Note 5, which just came out, and the Galaxy Note 5, love it. Great camera. Don't put the pen in backwards, but other than that, it's a great phone. I did get the OnePlus 2, was not so happy with that. Don't recommend it. Just got the Moto X Pure Edition, like this morning, and I'll have a report on that. I love these Moto X's. I thought that was the phone of the year in 2013. Less than happy with the 2014 version. I'll let you know what I think of the 2015 version. And in 2 weeks, I'll be talking about the new iPhone, which looks to have some very nice new features. Phone insanity. And as I mentioned, at the end of the month, Google is going to release new versions of its Nexus phones. We look to see a 5 and a 6-inch phone. The 5 from built by LG, the 6 built by the Chinese company Huawei. First time we've been able to use a Huawei in the U.S. So, phone insanity, but I'll talk about anything from Windows XP on at 8888 Ask Leo. Stay tuned. The Gizwiz coming next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Talking high tech with Dickie D. Dick DeBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Nice compliment for you in the chat room, Dickie D. I don't know if you saw it. Every time I see Dickie, it reminds me of my childhood reading Mad. Maybe that's why I'm so screwed up at the age of 59. And
that's a compliment.
From Barfly in the chat room. So,
oh, great.
Dick DeBartolo is my childhood idol, too. It's always a thrill to get him on the horn. He is not only Mad Magazine's maddest writer, he's been for many years a gadget hound. And
exactly.
We had fun, by the way. Thank you for coming.
Oh, the meetup was super. People were so complimentary. It was great.
Oh, they love you. That's why, Dick. We had I was in New York, and on Wednesday we got together and at a bar called Rattle and Hum.
Yeah.
Which was fun. And we had
it was great.
How many people would you say? Maybe a couple hundred?
You know what? I had guessed about 100 to 150, but you stayed longer than I. You stayed another hour.
It was stretched out over 3 hours. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard. We didn't.
I personally paid for 100 to come, so I don't know how many.
Oh well, I had 100.
So there were at least 100, yeah. And then there were your friends. So 110.
Right. Yeah, there may even have been. We double paid, and that would really make me mad. So Dick comes to us each week with, besides his witty repartee, usually with a gadget or two for us. What do you got?
Yeah, well, you know what? This is an amazing new gadget from a company that you will probably recall. It could be 4 years ago, Leo. We were at CES, and we covered one event together, and we saw for the first time the Sphero Ball.
Sphero. Sphero.
Yes.
Sphero.
Sphero.
Yes.
And it ran around the floor, and that was it. And then a year later, they said, we have a new one. I said, well, what does it do different? They said, well, now it goes like up a ramp and over a ramp. I said, well, kind of the same thing.
It just seemed like they were having trouble really finding a use for it. It was cool.
Well, they have now because they have come out with something called BB-8. Which is a droid that is in the new Star Wars movie coming in December. And there is a big BB-8 in the movie. I think he's like 2.5, 3 feet.
He's R2-D2 size, yeah.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But they have now, and it kind of uses the Sphero ball, but it has a head on it, and it's kind of great because the ball rolls all over the place, and the head keeps balancing on the top
really
of the ball.
Cool. I have to say, it's quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the ultimate thing for them to do. And you can set it for patrol, and it can go around the perimeter of your house. You can talk to it. They sent me one. It's a very big program. I started downloading a program. It took about 10 minutes.
It goes and then on my your phone, iPhone or your on your Android.
Android or iPhone. And then my phone stopped and said, "You don't have enough memory." So I had to erase a lot of apps. But I think they're going to be wildly successful.
This is the toy for Christmas, isn't it?
This is the
Tickle
toy.
Me Elmo for 2015.
Yes, yes. Now it's $150.
Yo!
Suggested retail, I assume.
There are two of these, by the way. There's a cheap one that Target or somebody sells. That's not the same as what we're talking about.
No, no. I think there's one that sort of just sits there and looks like.
It looks like it might do something, but yes, it doesn't.
But if you want the one that you can talk to and program and add apps to, you want the one, you want the BB-8.
It really has personality, which is so strange because there's not much to it, but somehow you feel like it's like a little pal, a little robot pal.
Yeah, and it makes little noises and it lights up and it glows and it's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great
I fun. Played with Mike Elgin, got one. His wife got him one. Yeah, and I played with it. I thought it's kind of funny. It's a lot of money for probably limited play. One of the things that's really fun, you can send a message to it, and it looks, they use augmented reality on your phone to make it look like you're Princess Leia saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope." It projects it out of its eyeball. That's
kind of it's fake.
Fun.
I thought that was really Princess Leia.
Help me, Dickie D. You're my only hope.
Yes, we're having dinner tomorrow night. Like you told me,
it's a little pricey at $150, but I think it's fun.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
I saw someone in the chat room said that it's now $129, or they saw it for $129.
Oh, all right, shop around then.
Shop around.
Yeah, if you go to SPHERO, Sphero, like a sphere with an O at the end, .com, you'll find it. You can order it there. I ordered it,
you did?
Well, but it won't be delivered till next month, and I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to cancel or keep it. It's $150.
Yeah, you know what? You're toy driven. You're gonna keep it.
That's
no, I'm
my
serious.
Motto. You're gonna, Leo you're Laporte. Keep it. We're toy driven.
Yeah,
that's kind of true.
Yeah,
expensive toys too, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but anyway, I agree. And do you get to keep your Sphero?
You know what? There was no return label in the box,
so you get to keep it. Congratulations.
Yes.
That's my motto.
Right.
If you want it back, you better pay for it.
Yeah, get a label to me.
Get a label.
But, exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty cute. We played with it for a little bit on one of the shows, and I was impressed. And, you know, everybody's excited. Are you excited? I mean, the new Star Wars movie comes out in December.
I'll be more excited if Mad wants to do it as a satire.
Of course they will. But Dick writes many of the movie satires.
Yeah.
It's hard. Why?
It's hard when we're out every 2 months to do movies.
You did the original Star Wars, didn't you?
A lot, yeah. You know, I have my George Lucas letter up there on the wall.
Well, wait a minute. You have a letter from George Lucas?
Yeah, you know, when we did the first Star Wars, the lawyers wrote us and said, "We're suing you."
What?
Because Star Wars is copyrighted and you're using all our characters and we would like the original artwork, and we would like 20% of your profits because that's how long the satire was in your magazine. Unfortunately, for Mort Drucker and I, we both got letters from George Lucas 2 days earlier that we should be given special Academy Awards for satire.
He loved it.
So Bill Gaines took the lawyer's letter and a red magic marker wrote, "Gee, George liked it." See attached letter.
And he never heard from him again, I hope.
Never again. No.
By the way, that's protected speech. It always has been. It's called parody.
Oh, yeah.
Parody is protected. So what was the name of your Star Wars parody?
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Out.
Of course.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Of course. Go to gizwiz.biz. That's Dick's website. At gizwiz.biz, you'll find a link and some description of the Sphero BB-8. But you'll also, as you click along, find the What the Heck Is It contest, a brand new contest that runs through the end of October. Identify this little egg thing. And you could win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Actually, you're more likely to win for the best wrong answer. So
yeah,
consider carefully which answer you give. At gizwiz.biz, Dick's podcast, The Gizwiz, is available at gizwiz.tv. And we will see you next week on the show, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
We're out of time. Thanks to Kim Schaffer for answering the phones. Thanks to Nathan Staten, our musical director, Dickie D and Johnny Jett and Scott Wilkinson. Thanks to you for being here. We'll see you again next time. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today and Tech News Tonight. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.